I really thought he was going to take it for another couple measures there.
You know, he's been cutting it off shorter and shorter, I feel like.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you a question.
All right.
When you put your comedy hat on,
yes,
as I'm sure you do,
I do.
What kind of hat is it?
It's a top hat.
Your comedy hat's a top hat?
Yes.
Interesting.
Mad Hatter style top hat. We had this discussion five episodes ago.
We did have a discussion about the hat, but I guess I didn't remember that it was a Mad Hatter.
Oh yeah, you even referenced that. You even said, "Oh, like a Mad Hatter."
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Because I just put my comedy hat on.
Yeah, yours had a strap, I noticed.
Well, it did have a strap. I don't want it to fall off. You know, sometimes it gets windy up here in the lofty hills of humor.
And you got to have something that accommodates that hair.
Fit all that hair in there. For sure. I got a lot of hair. Our listeners won't know that because
they can't tell. But you just, it's just a full head of just luscious locks.
There's so much of it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the product itself makes everything slippery.
Yeah, very carefully sculpted.
Yeah.
It's like lubrication for your hat. It just.
Yep. Flips exactly. It right on there. Yeah. Well, and I'm not going to have any trouble getting it off, you know.
That's true. That's good for lubricant to do that.
Indeed.
Yeah.
The reason I was asking was I realized that my comedy hat is more like a wizard's hat with kind of a wide brim.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Like a Gandalf or a Fantasia hat?
It's a little bit of a Fantasia Gandalf combination.
Mix.
Yeah. The brim is wide, but it's not so wide that it's floppy, but it's not so small that it's like real
close.
Well,
you don't want the sun to get in your eyes when you're casting spells.
Yeah, or podcasting. Spells.
Indeed.
As they say. I think people say that.
People don't realize that Gandalf had really, really poor vision, and that's why he had the hat, because if the sun was there, he was timeless,
day blind,
right?
Yeah, really.
So he couldn't, he would be casting stuff, and it would just be a huge mess.
Oh, yeah. Before he got that hat, I mean, there were little woodland creatures all over the place that they ended up with the wrong body parts. He turned a rabbit into a frog with a seahorse's body.
And Radagast was none the happier about that.
Oh,
for
none
sure.
The happier.
Yeah.
None the happier. Yeah. You know, they used to call him, Gandalf the, watch out. This is before they gave him a color.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Radagast had those like rabbits that pulled his sled. A lot of people don't know those were horses before Gandalf got out.
Before Gandalf got a hold of him.
That Gandalf.
What a guy.
Speaking of Gandalf.
I often do.
What do you think Gandalf would think of today's state of horror movies? Good segue, right?
Yeah. just call you Dean Kamen the way you're making segues.
Ooh, nice. R.I.P. Wait, is he the guy that rolled off the cliff on the Segway?
I don't know. He's the guy who invented the Segway.
Yeah, didn't the guy who invented the Segway, this might be an urban legend. Supposedly one of the people that invented the Segway died in a horrific accident of a Segway where he rode it off a cliff.
Really?
Someone involved, that has got to be true. Who would make that up?
I mean, the internet would make it up. Tim,
okay.
Let's get Tim on it.
Yeah, yeah. Tim, look up whatever Dean said his name was.
Yeah,
what was his
name?
Wow.
Okay. Tim just handed me a piece of paper.
Uh-huh.
And it's from Techland Time.
I read that.
Techland.time.com.
Sure.
So it's from time.com.
Yeah.
And
respectable news
outlet.
And
it says Jim Hendelson.
Okay.
Heselden. Heselden.
Close enough.
Yeah, I can't read, guys.
No one knows
the man who purchased the Segway company from inventor Dean Kamen.
Got it.
Died in a Segway accident yesterday. That's awful.
He rode it off a cliff, I believe.
Oh,
I think that's what happened.
I can't even process that. That is both like awful and like that's Greek in the way that it's tragic.
I love things like that. No. It's not quite the same, but I think the guy who created the Pringles can had his ashes, himself buried in his ashes in a Pringles can.
I thought you were going to say he got crushed inside a Pringles can.
He got crushed by a Pringles, like a whole truck of Pringles cans. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's why Segways are, it's important you do them right.
Yeah.
Which is what I just failed to do, so.
No, you know what? I appreciated it.
Well, good.
And I think the listener is going, you know what? We don't have a lot of clunky segues.
Yeah,
it's true. Wish we had a few more.
Yeah, I wish it was a rickety segue. Like yeah. One wheel's just kind of flipping around.
Yeah.
You know? And that's why you veer wildly off-road and off a cliff. So
much like this podcast.
Much like it's
speaking of falling off a cliff. That sounds like a horrible way to die.
It does. Sounds terrible.
And with due respect, this actual human being whom I feel awful about.
What, did you push him off the cliff?
Well, no, okay. Not intentionally. The thing that we're talking about are some horror movies. And you mentioned, what is the state of horror movies?
Horror comedy.
Horror comedy.
This is horror comedy,
you
for
know,
sure.
And I don't particularly care for horror movies myself.
We understand.
Because I'm very impressional.
Win. Yeah.
Impressional?
Impressional.
Yeah, I'm very impressional. And I get terrified by things pretty easily.
What's the scariest movie you've ever seen?
Like
one that made you, you know, that had a good impressional on you.
what made a good impressional? Scariest movie I've ever seen. I don't know. That's a really tough question. I don't know. I watch so few scary movies. You know what? That Zodiac movie was pretty terrifying.
Okay.
Because I was like, oh, but they suspect the guy died. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. So he's not still around. But like when he was like leaving voicemails, or just like calling Jake Gyllenhaal in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, come on, man. Stop calling him.
Yeah.
That's pretty terrifying.
Interesting.
Stuff like that.
So the real, that's real life though.
Yeah.
That's a person who exists possibly still or, well, no, he'd be dead by now probably, but.
Unexplained stuff terrifies me.
Unexplained.
I think that's the big deal.
Okay. So it's more of an existential fear than anything.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So you're just terrified because you don't understand how the, you know, universe started or why we're here.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
Just an existential dread.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Heidegger would be very proud of you. Heidegger? Probably right. He was in that same...
I don't know. Have Tim look it up.
He was in that same...
Arena?
The listener can't see me just waving my hand wildly.
Uh-huh. I'm ballpark.
Yeah, that crew. You know, he ran with a lot of those people who are real, real depressing philosophers. So,
oh yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like existence and this and that. That's interesting. So when I was young, I was very impressionable, which I think is similar to impressional, but not quite the same.
Yeah, it's a similar term, but there's subtle differences.
It's a very nuanced distinction. Mm-hmm. The film, two films to this day, still I can remember terrifying me when I was a kid.
Oh, really?
It was one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what was it?
It.
Okay, what was the movie?
It terrified me. It.
I understand, but what was the movie that terrified you?
It terrified me.
So you're saying it terrified you?
Yeah, it terrified me.
Right. What is it?
Oh, yeah, the movie was Stephen King's It. The movie was called It. Sorry. Did I not make that clear earlier? It's about a murderous clown. They're remaking it, actually.
Okay. All right.
So a clown called Pennywise, played by Tim Curry.
Oh, any bells? Tim Curry. Scary guy.
Terrifying.
People don't understand. Like, he's always out there being jocular, but people don't understand that Count Richelieu was actually based on him.
Yeah, it's
in
true.
In Disney's Three Musketeers.
It's true. I mean, that's, you know... It's second, you know, in terms of terrifyingness,
right.
Behind Count Richelieu and the Three Musketeers. Yeah. But no, that movie, I saw it when I was very young. And
it's a mistake.
Yeah, it was very, very scary, and I was scared. I still don't like clowns a lot.
Sure. I mean, I think who does?
I've tried to deconstruct that a little bit. I have a lot of theories on why people don't like clowns, which I'll share in a minute. But that movie, there's a scene... It's just a lot of like sight horror because it's this clown that only these kids can see. I don't really remember the plot that well, actually.
Okay.
But I know the clown sort of terrorizes this group of kids. And there's just scenes like I can remember, and this is all hazy remembrance. So if I'm wrong, sorry, but it's, you know, there's a woman drinking a glass of tea, like an old woman. And then like her eyes turn black and she drops the tea and the tea is like blood or something like that.
Ugh.
It's like the kids see like these hallucinations of things, you know. There's another scene where he's digging a grave, like the clown is digging a grave and there's like 12 graves already like filled in or whatever. And he like looks up and says something like, oh, there's one down here for you or something like that, right?
Ugh.
Which is kind of like humorous but creepy. And
yeah.
So that movie was one.
All right.
And you're going to be interested to hear that the second most terrifying movie from when I was a child was the very last scene of Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember the guy when his like eyes went crazy?
Yeah, and had, like, when Christopher Lloyd, like, when they remove, like, his real world garments to reveal to reveal a terrifying cartoon character.
Yes.
Right?
He had crazy eyes, and again, remembering this.
He was, like, pretty kind of scary.
I think he had like saws for hands or something.
Yeah, well, they could, like, turn into stuff.
Yeah.
Because he was a cartoon.
And then the only other thing I can think of that really, excuse me, terrified me when I was a kid was there was a show called Tales from the Crypt. Do you remember that show?
Yeah.
Okay.
On Never late at night. Never watched it, but I was aware of it.
It was on very late at night.
They had a cartoon spinoff on Saturday mornings.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. Why not make this terrifying thing for children? Mm-hmm. I'm very young. I don't think I'd had gone to a barbershop before. Or if I had, I think the lady down the street cut my hair.
Okay.
And then my dad was going to take me to a barbershop. And no joke, the night before, I catch Tales from the Crypt. Like, for some reason, I saw part of it.
It's like set in a barbershop.
Yeah. I think I fell asleep, and my dad liked to watch that stuff. Like, sure. That's why, he's the whole reason why we saw any of these movies. He was the one who wanted to see them. And I saw that, and it was about, I think.
Wait, It? Were we talking about It? Or?
Oh, sorry. No, not It.
Okay.
The Tales from the Crypt episode.
Yes.
Was about these barbers who killed people. For, like, Sweeney Todd style with, like, a straight razor.
Yep.
And I think they were werewolves, which was strange to me. I thought, why not make it a vampire? That seems more obvious.
Yeah.
So I was just mortified and afraid to go to this barbershop. So I was very impressionable. I don't know what changed at some point.
That's kind
of
cool.
You know.
I mean, it's terrifying as a child, but it's cool looking back on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. There were things like that that I think I was just so conservative with what I would watch. That I just wouldn't watch things that were somewhat scary.
I see. But so it, like, might be the fear that you'll have some fear from it.
Yeah.
More so than the actual fear you'd experience from watching
it. I do remember one of my babysitters as a kid, one of my regular babysitters, watching
on
Rescue 911.
Rescue 911?
Yeah. It was like...
was it anything like Reno 911?
No, it was nothing like it.
Okay.
It was, it was William Shatner.
Okay.
But it wasn't funny. And he wasn't science fiction-y.
That's not his strong suit, if it's neither of those things.
I know. It was. He was just like the host of this show about murders, and I don't know if they were solved or unsolved, but that terrified me.
They were real murders.
Yeah, they were real murders.
So I'm sensing like a trend here.
It was like, what's that, Unclosed Mysteries?
Unsolved.
That makes more sense.
Cold cases unsolved.
Unclosed mysteries.
Unclosed.
Yeah.
No one closed it.
These mysteries are wide open.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like that. Okay. But it was on a different network, I think.
I think the Dixie Chicks sang a song about wide open mysteries, didn't they?
Yeah, I think
wide
so.
Wide open mysteries.
Yeah.
That was what it was.
So that stuff sort of... So anything where there was like...
So it's real. Okay.
Real. Or if people perceived it was real. Like, I would get terrified, I still do sometimes, by conspiracy theories about, like, aliens and and things like that. Anything where people, like, aren't admitting that it's fake.
I think
that really bothers me.
I got you. Okay. So there's like, many classes of horror film. There's, like, slasher films, which are very... like somewhat true to life, right? Someone could hack somebody else up, right? That happens.
Okay, give me an example of a film like that.
Scream.
Okay.
So it's not anything supernatural.
These guys are just like plotting against other people and just murdering people for no reason.
Yeah.
I mean, Matthew Lillard's in it.
Typically, like, it's different.
Anything with Matthew Lillard, really.
I think that was Wes Craven, right? I think that was a new type of slasher film at that point. I mean, there were movies like about crazy families, Texas Chainsaw Massacre and House at the End of the Street and like all these movies in like the 70s. And then I think in the 80s, all the slasher films took like a supernatural bent to them. So you had like Freddy Krueger, who was like in people's dreams, and you had Jason, who was like immortal, weirdly.
Yep.
And so there was a supernatural element to it. So although it was gruesome to see people get hacked up and stuff, it was also kind of like, well, this is supernatural and not.
Yeah, yeah.
But then there's like there's some poltergeist distance. Or like...
That stuff,
that
yeah,
stuff scares you?
That okay. stuff would terrify me. I've never been able
would
to watch...
Would or still would?
I think it still would. I've okay. never been able to watch Exorcist or any movies okay. similar to that because... Because
your mother's a preacher.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I don't know. It's just like... Here's what scared me about that, not the actual movie per se, although I think that would terrify me a little bit.
Sure.
It's the urban legend stories about what happened on the movie set, about things mysteriously burning down and like, oh my God, something is out there.
Everybody who made that
Even
movie.
Even though intellectually I'm going, none of that's real. Yeah. None of that makes any sense.
That's because there's still that little reptilian little part of your brain that is afraid right of things there. You don't understand.
Yep. And
I totally understand.
Yeah.
I think that's what... I think the difference, I think everybody is scared by these things. The difference is that some people are able to, after the movie's over, let that part of their brain just kind of subside, and then some people aren't. So sometimes it's like it intrudes on you or something or reminds you. Trying to think if there's any movie I've seen recently that I can't watch slasher flicks because it seems like torture porn and stuff. Like it just seems too, like the killing and like the many ways they think of killing people is like part of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't really get that. Saw is a lot like that where, Saw is this intricate, like situation, these intricate situations, moral dilemmas or whatever, will you dig a key out of your own stomach to get out of this dungeon before this gas happens? Or will you like kill this other person to just get out or whatever?
Right.
Right. Like that stuff. I get why that's appealing to people because it's like, well, what would happen if I were
there's
in that
always,
situation?
There's always this weird thing where you're watching a movie about voyeurism and you can't determine the line between the voyeur and yourself.
Yeah.
And that always sets me at a weird angle to the movie.
I find that I'll go see a good horror movie if I know it's going to be, it's well reviewed or something.
Okay.
I have a higher bar for that. Like if a movie comes out and it's, 60% of Rotten Tomatoes, I'm not going to go see it. If it's like the movie It Follows, which I think was a sequel to It, but I'm not sure, was like people just getting followed by it rather than it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Them coming to it.
It Follows.
Right. And, it follows. That's what it would be.
Yeah.
That one had like a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes, and I was okay, well, I got to go see this because if critics like this, it must be good because critics are especially harsh on horror films.
Well, and you're a man not to be hemmed in by genre.
It's true. I will see any movie.
Yep.
I was thinking about this the other day, and I know we haven't yet talked about anything we're going to talk about, really. But
we got time.
We do. I mean,
what is the listener doing right now? They're on their treadmill
laundry.
Right now. They're folding laundry. They're filling out a spreadsheet, whatever.
All those things.
They love this part of the show.
I think so. I think that's what this
is. It's a huge draw.
Oh, good. I'm glad that I'm not wasting their time then.
No, certainly not.
What was I talking about?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, if we just sit here for a second, I'll think of it.
Yeah, It Follows.
Oh, I was thinking about movies and how people... you went and saw a movie recently. We won't mention it because it's not relevant to this podcast, but it... is not well reviewed.
It is not well reviewed.
You went and saw it anyway.
Yeah. I was like, there's something about it that sort of seemed interesting to me.
Yes.
And that portion of it was mildly interesting, but the rest of the movie wasn't great.
Yeah.
It wasn't a waste of my time, though.
And so what I, some might say I'm overly reliant on reviews.
Yes.
And things like that.
Some would say that.
But I think everybody has a decision rule in their head.
Mm-hmm.
About whether they see a movie or not. And I just have a very clearly defined one. It's like, if most people say that this is a good movie, I will go see it. Right.
Yep.
It might prevent me from seeing movies that I would like that aren't well reviewed. I can think of some examples, but that's my decision rule.
Sure.
Your decision rule, maybe you can't define it, but you have one somewhere in your head.
Yeah. I have
you go,
one.
This
certainly.
Looks interesting. I'll go see it. So I was just thinking about it. There's some weird, like, inauthenticity to my decision rule, and that people go, oh, this guy will only go see good movies, other people will think you're good. Because I've had that conversation where people go, a lot of people think that their rating websites are junk and they're not really helpful. But I, like I said, you just have to decide one way or another. I'm just letting that be the crowd decide it for me.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. The only reason that I don't make a decision in the same way is because I am too impressional.
Yeah, you're very impressional.
Yeah.
We've established that.
And I don't like to see reviews before I see a movie because I don't want it to impressional me.
I see. So it will convince you that it's, yeah, you might say, oh, I should expect this to be good or
exactly.
not. I see. So you didn't know anything about that movie before you went and saw it?
I did hear a little bit about it. I heard a little bit about some of the artistic style, which was the point of me going to see it. And that's what made me interested in it. And it had an actor that I enjoy. And I did see that it wasn't getting great reviews, but I didn't like read any of the articles.
Gotcha.
There was a thing about that movie that I was interested in, and that's why I went to see it.
Yeah. I do think that the reviews can be a problem, especially when certain people end up getting panned, I think, for every movie they ever do.
Yeah, just for no reason.
I actually feel that way about Jennifer Aniston a little bit.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple movies where I enjoyed the movies.
I've never had a problem with her.
Yeah, but she does not, her movies are not well reviewed.
No, they are not.
It's like, and actually for a long time, Paul Rudd too, him being in a movie would be like almost a bad sign.
Yeah.
But now he's kind of rebounded a bit. She, even for, I think the movie that she was.
The recent one, Cake?
Cake, yeah. They were talking about her, you know, being potentially nominated for an Oscar for it.
Yeah.
And it had horrible reviews.
Really?
So I don't know. I don't really know what to make of that. Anyway, so yeah. So decision rules, whatever. Horror movies are especially one where I will definitely check the reviews before I go see it.
Yeah. Because it's a big variance.
Well, what happens is when I don't look at the reviews, then I end up seeing a movie like Zombievers, which I heard on a podcast I respect. I heard the creator on there. I respect the opinion of the people who create the podcast. I respect, you know, I've checked out other things their guests have made and thought they were good.
Sure.
So they're really touting this movie. And I even thought, well, I'll go buy it like video on demand or go see it in the theater.
Oh, wow. Morning. You're investing dollars.
Yeah. And then I saw it was on Netflix. I said, perfect. Let's watch this movie.
Let's take a look at
Sight unseen. Hadn't looked at a review. Hadn't done anything.
I'm very interested in the title.
Yes. Zombievers.
Zombievers. It's two things that I like. Yep. Furry woodland creatures.
Yep. And?
And zombies.
Zombies. Oh, right. Okay, that's the other thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder what the zom stood for.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Zombievers.
Yep.
And I guess the nice thing about it is how succinct it is. The title...
It tells you everything you're going to see in this movie.
Exactly. It tells you there's going to be zombies.
There's going to be beavers.
There's going to be beavers. There's going to be a lot of jokes about beavers in the movie.
Which I appreciated.
Sure.
You
can't make a movie about zombie beavers without making a few beaver jokes.
A few beaver jokes. Especially when, like, your protagonists are all, sexy college students.
Right. It's going to just happen, especially if it's a horror film. I mean, the trope of the teenagers being punished for their sexuality is
exactly.
pretty common.
That's the whole thing, right?
Yeah. So, this movie to me was, I think what I didn't have an objection to the film as it stood.
Sure.
My objection was that, and I don't say this lightly, I've been saying that a lot lately though, which I should probably check myself on. I think I could have written a better script for this movie.
I agree with that. I agree. I think your script would have been more jokey.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would have, it's not just the script too. It's the direction of it.
Sure.
I was trying to figure out exactly what it is about this movie. Like, did they not commit hard enough to the comedy?
Mm-hmm.
Did they not commit hard enough to the horror?
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's both. I think they needed to dig deeper in both directions because they are not opposites.
Yeah.
And I think in the horror comedy genre, it works best when they work in tandem.
Sure.
You know, it's both terrifying and funny. It that's what makes Evil Dead work.
Yeah.
That's what makes Shaun of the Dead work.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny, but it's grounded in the fact that they, that these characters are really terrified of what's going on.
Right.
And I think that they just didn't commit hard enough in either direction.
Yeah, it struck me as they came up with the idea, and they said, we're going to make a horror movie about zombie beavers, and someone said, check, here you go, make that movie.
Yeah.
They went out and did all the things they needed to. They got attractive leads. They wrote in, you know, the obligatory nudity and, you know, the boyfriends, the horny boyfriends.
Right.
They wrote in the cabin. They wrote in the creepy neighbor. They wrote in all the elements of a horror film.
Yep.
And then they didn't know where to go from there. It was like, now how do we make all of this actually work?
Here's what makes bad satire.
Okay. Lay it on me.
Bad satire is when you take a thing that exists and you do it scene for scene and make like a joke along the way.
Yeah.
That's not satire. That's not parody, you know. I've been involved in some parody of that kind. Mm-hmm. Like I was in a show once where we did like a musical version of a thriller movie, right?
Michael Jackson
thriller? Not the Michael Jackson thriller, okay. But a thriller movie.
Okay.
And basically all that was they just added some funny songs to all of the like same beats of the movie. And so it didn't say anything about the movie or the genre. And I think this does the same thing. They take the teen horror movie like template,
yeah,
and then they just threw in a couple of jokes here and there, but it doesn't say anything about the genre. It doesn't say anything about what they're trying to do with it. It just makes it mildly entertaining those times that those jokes appear, and then the rest of the time it's not great.
I was actually thinking, I'm a big fan of not only horror comedy but zombie films in general, and you know, this one is an exception to what a typical zombie movie would be, because the zombies are not human zombies.
Right, they're beavers.
They're beaver zombies, as we've established. So you need to be in a place where beavers are, so it makes sense to put them in the woods, which is where the characters
certainly are.
The problem with that, I think, is that, you know, a typical, what makes a zombie movie scary, and I've heard people like George Romero talk about this, mm-hmm. is that a zombie is, it could be your best friend, it could be your wife, it could be, like, the biggest fear of a human has is that someone that they trust and care about would turn on them.
Yes.
Right? That's, like, the core of a zombie
sure.
film. So, this feels like a slasher movie, but it's a zombie movie instead.
Yeah, where the zombies are basically the weapon,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird. The closest I can think of is Dead Snow, which is like essentially a teen horror film set in like the mountains where okay. they're in Norway, I think, in a cabin like for skiing, and these Nazi zombies that died in some weird way in this pass in World War II are awoken and attack okay. them, right? In that situation, it makes sense. They're Nazis, so everybody hates Nazis, and Nazis are warlike, so they're going to wage war on them when they see these other people.
Sure.
The beavers, it's like, I know this is going to be the strangest sentence I've probably ever uttered in my life, but I didn't understand the motivation of the beavers in this movie.
What is causing them to be so hostile?
Like, if they all of a sudden started disassembling the house to make a big-ass beaver dam, like, that would make sense to me because,
okay.
like, that's what beavers do,
okay.
right? They become these monster zombie beavers, and they're like, oh, okay, you know what we're going to do now? We're going to take this house apart, and we're going to make this giant dam.
But I think that's the comedy of it.
Okay.
And I think that it just didn't play all that well.
Yep.
I think the comedy of it is that it's just ridiculous that beavers would want to like just kill them for no reason.
Yeah,
right.
That's true.
I think that's maybe part of it.
Yeah.
Well, but I think your point is valid. Like, maybe it would have even been funnier if they had, like, a clear motive.
Yeah.
Like turning the house into a giant beaver dam.
Right.
Or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. Something like that. Like, or if they... Yeah, something... I don't know. I did like the twist that somehow being bitten by the zombie beaver turns you into a giant beaver.
Yeah, I liked that, too. I liked that a lot.
Because they had to establish what happens if you're bit by the zombie beaver and you know survive.
Right, because it is a zombie film, so like it's about assimilation. And
well, and that's the other thing too, is I think zombies work better when you pick an animal that itself is already a warlike animal. Humans are warlike animals.
Sure.
If you zombify a stripper, it's still a human, so there's zombie strippers.
Uh-huh.
If you it's not zombie, but there was a movie called Piranha.
Oh, sure.
Piranha,
yeah. Something. Yeah, yeah. And they're already, like, dangerous.
I think the premise of that is that there was some weird prehistoric piranha that was, like, bigger or something.
Okay.
You know, and came through, like, a rift. Like, there was some seismic shift, and they came through this rift in this lake.
Gotcha.
You know, buried under that, in the caverns for whatever. That makes sense. Those are all animals that you're like, are Sharknado. Like, these are animals that are, if you did a zombie aggressive shark movie, yeah, you're like, okay, well, now they're zombie sharks, so they don't die as easily or something.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So you make a zombie deer movie, and it's not as...
it doesn't...
I mean, I get that it's not supposed to be scary, but, like, you're, to your point, it needs to be kind of scary.
Yeah.
But also still funny.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, there were times when I was, like, a little bit on edge.
Okay.
Just a little bit. Like, when they were on the raft the first time, the guy gets his foot gnawed off.
Yeah.
Right. I was like, oh, I actually don't know how they're going to get out of this.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that, you know, maybe this is a really short movie. Maybe all six of them die right here.
Yep.
You know,
that's suspense, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So they did that well. I'll give them that. Yeah, but yeah, I agree though about the script. It just was like so
missed opportunities.
I felt like a lot of the jokes came from the actors themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like the guy who gets his foot gnawed off is just really funny.
Mm-hmm.
He's a really funny guy, and I've never seen him in anything else, but you can tell just watching this film, like he's got a thing about him, right?
Right.
And I felt like a lot of the humor just came from him saying the stuff that he said. And then I think a lot of the lines were supposed to be humorous, but they were directed in such a way that the actors delivered them so flatly.
Mm.
'Cause what you want is, you do want... It's a weird balance. I mean, comedy, you can't put your finger on it, right?
Yeah.
You want them to commit to what they're saying, but at the same time, sometimes it's better to have like a wink and a nod.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing like a parody news broadcast or something, sometimes it doesn't work if you just play it totally straight.
Yeah,
you know, sometimes you need just a little wink to say, "Oh, this is all a joke, by the way."
So there's a really good point. The two guys at the beginning and end of the film who are in the truck.
Yes.
They to me serve the role of the fool in like a story. So they're there at the beginning to set up that this is going to be funny.
Yeah.
Right. But they don't come back. I would have actually liked them to show up in the middle somewhere. Mm-hmm. To like remind everybody that this is a big joke.
Yeah.
Like if they just hit a beaver or something in the middle of it, you know, like that's when you have the jester or the fool, you have to use them. Sam Elliott in The Big Lebowski is the same thing.
Yep, kind of pops up here and there to remind you.
It's a story. It's a goofy, whatever. Yeah. Like, and they almost did it. They brought him there in the beginning. They brought him there at the end, but he wasn't there in the middle. They weren't there in the middle. To you know, and so it was kind of, and yeah, there were some jokes that were just like forced. Or sight gags that were forced.
Yeah.
The thing with the guy's penis, like, that was, like, a forced thing, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah, with the beaver coming out of the floorboards.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what's so funny about that is, like, if you actually, like, take the scene for what it is, he doesn't have underwear on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And,
but when she... Because they're actually having sex at that moment.
Right.
And then when she jumps out of the floorboards and, like, eats his penis, like it just... You know, it, like you said, it's a forced gag. It doesn't work, and it doesn't work within the context of the scene.
Well, it was forced in that they were like, you know what? All this horrible stuff's been happening. Let's just get it on right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like, you could have done more of a slow burn mm-hmm. in this. Like, that's what they do in Dead Snow. In Dead Snow, the zombies pick off some people, like, one at a time, like when they go out to use the outhouse or something in the middle of the night, right? Okay. So it's not like they're all there immediately.
Right.
Like, you could have, like, you could have more suspense. You could have more of that stuff. That's a gag that could work if it was done at a certain earlier point in the narrative, yeah, you know?
I buy that.
So, I don't know. I'm kind of... It was just one of those, like, get, like, three comedians in a room and have them write just some,
yeah, just punch some it
stuff
up.
For this. You could really have just, like, really nailed it. So
I will say I really liked the opening credit sequence, mm-hmm. with watching the barrel, like, move downstream mm-hmm. with the little animations around yeah. it. I like that a lot. I wasn't crazy about any of the actors, really, but... The girl who, like, makes it to the end.
Yep.
At the beginning of the film, I hated her character.
Yep.
I was like, she's God, the she's slut so character. Annoying. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's so annoying, and she's like, she's doing this sort of. Did you ever watch that show? Don't Trust the Bee. It was a real short-lived show. It wasn't good. Kristen Ritter is the actress, and she was just like this really, like, sort of vapid, like...
I know what you're saying.
Like, party girl. Mm-hmm. And that's what this girl was in this movie, right? And at the beginning, I couldn't stand her, and I didn't know why they would write a character like this. At the end of the movie, I totally empathized with her.
Yeah.
Like, she was the only one who did nothing wrong throughout the whole movie.
Right.
She was, she was, like, keeping a cool head. She was, like, doing everything she needed to do. She was just put in this horrible situation. And I actually thought that the most impactful moments came from her.
Yeah, especially that part where she got hit by the car.
Yeah, that was part very too, impactful. Exactly. Came from that actress. So I will give her a little bit of props. And that's not just because she was the one who exposed herself in the movie. That was before I came over to her side.
Right about there is where you started to develop an affinity. You're like, you know what?
You know, she's bearing so all bad. Here. She's not so bad.
She probably feels vulnerable. Like, no. I kind of... It's funny because in these films... there are these archetypal characters mm-hmm. and usually the slutty one is the one who gets it, like, first.
Sure.
You know, usually she's, like, snuck away with her boyfriend out to the outhouse or somewhere. And then she's the first one to get stabbed or something, you know, it's right. like she's going to suffer first. And so the fact that she lasted through the whole movie was, like, a little bit of a different thing from what usually happens.
Well,
usually there's, like, the bookish girl who, like, is not really as, like, as she's clearly hot, but, like, no one else seems to notice, or right, she's all that style, who somehow, like, becomes this badass through the course of it, and then at the end she survives. That girl, like, got taken out kind of early in this one. And there's the stoner, and there's the jock, and, like, there are these common
I do characters. Think that the interesting part about, you know, maybe this is, like, a gender politics conversation that we could not have on this podcast because it's not really appropriate. But, she's ostensibly the slutty one, right?
Sure.
But she's in a committed relationship, and she's just really open about, like, how much sex she wants to have.
Right.
You know, which actually doesn't really make her slutty at all. But I do think we're supposed to think that about her.
That's common in these movies.
Yeah. I think that we're supposed to think that about her, which is sort of, you know, that's an interesting...
It's a taboo issue.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it. Mm-hmm. But yeah. So, anyway... I don't think I disliked it as much as you did, but I didn't care for it.
Yeah.
It wasn't good.
Yeah, you didn't care for it. Got it. Yeah, I understand. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't so bad it was good either. It wasn't, mm-hmm. you know, because that's another class where it's...
Yeah.
Here's a movie that they tried to make... I mean,
this isn't The Room.
Yeah, right, exactly. They tried to make it serious.
Yeah.
And then it was just not. And, you know, it was hilarious. I mean, I actually think... That's kind of what happened a little bit with Evil Dead. I think Evil Dead was started out as kind of a semi-serious thing.
I think they figured it out halfway through, or maybe in the editing process.
Yeah, they were just like, you know what? This is funny. Yep. Like, we're going to make this funnier. It makes me realize that, I never went on a vacation with a bunch of people in college, and I think that's probably why.
I think it's wise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because nothing good happens.
No.
Nothing but death and destruction.
Yeah.
Speaking of which... Very similar film. Tucker and Dale versus
Incredibly similar film.
Mm-hmm.
Like, remarkably so. Mm-hmm. Came out 5 years earlier, 4 years earlier.
Yep.
Stars
Alan Tudyk,
who Wash. Everyone loves.
Yep.
And a guy named Tyler Labine. We were discussing
That's French for the bean.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he is from Canada. We were discussing this just before the podcast because I've seen him in some other stuff. I haven't actually seen it.
You just know he's in
things.
But
I'm aware of him in other stuff. Sure. And I don't think you had seen him necessarily in anything. Mm. He's done a couple of other like horror comedy things. One was he was on a television show called Reaper, which I think Kevin Smith produced. That was on for like 2 years toward the latter half of the aughts. And then he's on a show right now on Hulu called Deadbeat, where he kind of talks to ghosts and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I think it's like a humorous ghost whisperer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's sort of interesting. It's interesting that he kind of has fallen into this genre. He's the best thing about this movie.
Yeah. He's pretty awesome. I like the unexpected romance story that goes on in this film with him and Katrina Bowden, I think her name is, from 30 Rock, or Katarina Bowden or something.
Yeah.
Otherwise known as the girl who just plays the attractive girl on every show she's on.
It's
which,
true.
It makes
I
sense.
I mean, she's very attractive.
She's very attractive. So, but yeah, just that like, there's like the B story of this is a love story. Mm-hmm. Not, you know, like of him like with his lack of confidence and, you know, but he's actually really smart and, you know, that kind of thing. And then, you know, he wins over the girl. And unlike like Revenge of the Nerds, he doesn't have to, you know, like rape her, which happened in Revenge of the Nerds.
True.
Not a lot of people mention that, but there's rape in that movie.
I mean, yeah.
The hero rapes the girl, essentially. She's okay with it after the fact for some reason. But yeah, anyway, that always bothered me about that movie.
Yeah, that's really weird.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. She just thinks it's somebody else.
She thinks it's her, he's posing as her boyfriend or Darth Vader or whatever. And yeah, anyway, so not to bring it into that discussion.
That doesn't happen in this movie.
It does not, no.
In fact, this movie, and they go out of their way to make sure that they say that Tucker and Dale, who are, so there's the group of kids, college kids, as they call them,
the college kids,
movie.
Yeah, college kids.
Yeah. and then there's Tucker and Dale, who just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yes.
And
they're rednecks who are vacationing in redneck country.
Exactly.
They're going to have a nice lake house up in the woods that happens to have been owned at some point by like a serial murderer or something.
Right.
Or as he calls it, a news enthusiast.
A news enthusiast.
Yeah.
They go out of their way throughout the movie to say that these two guys, Tucker and Dale, have been nothing but gentlemen to the girl who they rescue, but her college kids' friends think they have captured.
They have all these pre-existing, probably from watching too many horror films, ideas about rednecks and people who live in the woods and you know what their motives are. I love that. So for one, this movie, I would say more than most of those movies where people are in the woods, these college students, has like a pretty big group of kids because they need them to all like die in multiple ways.
Yeah.
Usually it's like three or four.
Yeah, there's like six or eight of them.
Yeah, and they all just get kind of slowly picked off. just, I mean, you can see the great thing that about this, at least to me, is that there's the whole Chekhov's gun thing, right? Where it's like you see the thing, it's got to be relevant later.
Yeah.
And they like knock you over the head with the foreshadowing that like, mm-hmm. okay, oh, by the way, there's this board that's loose and has these like spikes on it.
Yeah.
By the way, there's a wood chipper.
Yeah.
By the way, there's an axe. By the way, that, you know, like
they put all of the things that are going to be impactful later in the film out there for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool.
And I like that the guys, Tucker and Dale, when faced with this weird situation where all these kids are killing themselves around them, are going, what is wrong with these college kids? Oh, they're killing themselves. They're probably trying to kill her too. Like, we better hide all the sharp objects. Like, they start running around grabbing stuff.
They want to save them.
Yeah.
They want to stop the carnage.
Yeah. It must be a suicide pact. I think this is a good example of really good horror comedy.
Really good horror comedy.
And my only, and it's a very slight hesitation with it, is just that it goes on a bit long, where you're like, okay,
sure, sure.
At this point, it's gotten so, like, there's like a gag, right? The gag is that the kids think one thing, they think another, and then something bad happens.
Yep.
And that's like done over and over again. And it's almost to the detriment of the story that it happens so many times.
Yeah.
That it's sort of like Meet the Fockers or something, right? Where you, or Meet the Parents, where, yep, where it's like, okay, I get that lots of bad stuff happens to this guy, but like if every single time he steps foot out of the house, something bad happens to him, eventually you start going like, okay, I got it.
Let's get on with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see that. I don't think it, I mean, the movie itself is only like an hour and a half long.
Yeah.
So I get what you're saying, but I didn't feel that it was like so, such a big deal. And I don't think you did either.
Yeah.
But I actually think that the one thing about it is that the story itself, like the plot, is almost just a little bit thin. Like the idea that this kid turns out to be the spawn of the serial killer and becomes a serial killer.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like it kind of, or he doesn't become a serial killer, but he tries to be, yeah, like a killer. It kind of,
well, he does.
It wears thin.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. It's true. If we see the opening scenes of the movie,
yeah,
but it wears thin by the end of the movie. And I don't really care about that part of the movie. I care about the relationship between, like, the B story is more interesting to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what it, I think it has a B story. There were kind of some B stories in Zombievers, but they weren't really a fully developed B story.
Yeah. Well, there was a B story at the end too.
There was a B story at the end. It was actually a lot of people don't know that this was the prequel to, but it was, came out after B story, the Jerry Seinfeld animated
that's
film,
exactly,
B story. Yeah.
Yeah. That's where they got all their talking, from,
that's
because
right,
they were zombies.
Yeah. But yeah, I saw this movie when it came out, or a little after it came out, maybe when it came out on DVD, and it seemed a natural companion to Zombievers because they're both kind of going for the same thing.
Yep.
Now after seeing both, we know that one was more successful than the other. But yeah, it's kind of a, I don't know, like,
it's a romp.
Here's something.
I think that if we're talking about like horror comedy movies, I think that Shaun of the Dead is great. I really like that movie. And I haven't seen it in several years, so maybe I would feel differently about it now. But like, to me, that's like a movie, right? Mm-hmm. This, to me, feels just like one step below that somehow.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a movie that you're like, oh, I love that movie.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I like that movie. It's cute.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's still funny and it's great and everything, but like, I feel like Shaun of the Dead, something of that ilk, the main plot works better than this one, and maybe that's why it feels a little more quaint.
Yeah, it's I know exactly what you're saying. It's a different class of movie. Like,
yeah,
this is one you rent and watch and kind of forget about it, but like you enjoyed it.
But you enjoyed it while you're watching it. Yeah.
Speaking of good horror parody, there's a great, and it's similar in class, I would say, great horror parody called Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon,
okay,
which I think was on Netflix for a long time. It takes place in a world where Freddy Krueger and Jason are real people, and this guy is an aspiring serial killer, like he wants to be. So it's kind of like playing on, what is it, Man Bites Dog or whatever the... Okay, there's an older movie that's about a documentary about a serial killer.
Okay,
like, and it's serious. Like, the guy,
right,
is, you know, and it's like, this crew. Why is this crew following this guy? Because he's actually killing people. I think it's Man Bites Dog. But anyway, in this one, it's totally comedy, and it's just him training all the time. And he's training for, like, you know, and he'll be like boxing and stuff, and he'll be like doing cardio, and he'll be like, you know, it's really hard because you gotta be able to keep up with the kids, but you gotta look like you're slowly walking all the time. You know, like things like that.
That's
you
awesome.
Know, like, you don't actually ever, I think what makes him kind of appealing as a character is that you don't ever actually see him kill anybody. Cause that would immediately make him the enemy,
make him
the bad
not
guy.
Like a good guy.
Yeah. Yeah, but they play on all these tropes, right? Like, so they talk about the guy who hunts you when you're a serial killer. Cause it, like, you think of, who's the guy?
Like, there's Donald Pleasance in Halloween.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. They call him his Ahab. right?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I've got an Ahab. Yeah. And he's telling people, he's like, I got an Ahab. I've got an Ahab. Like someone's, you know.
He's like excited.
Yeah,
about
yeah,
it.
Exactly. Like, I'm really that means legitimate. I'm like a, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's a good, it's someone who, and that's the other thing. That's the problem with Zombievers. It's like, I didn't get the feeling from that these people liked these films or had seen them enough to really, you know, to play on a lot of those tropes in a funny way.
Right.
Which is different for movies like Rise of the Mat or Rise of Leslie Vernon or even Tucker and Dale or Cabin in the Woods is probably the best example of a, uh-huh. of playing on horror tropes that I've ever seen. But yeah, so I you know, having seen a lot of those films, I felt like a lot of missed opportunities for just comedy and horror in the whole thing, just because it yeah, like I said, I've seen enough of them. I feel like I could play. The one thing I would love to do, I think, in a horror movie, especially because we mentioned the girl, you know, taking her shirt off or whatever.
Yeah.
I would love to build in a bunch of like attractive women and have them almost get naked, like almost through the whole movie, but then have like
quite,
but then just like have full frontal male nudity for like an uncomfortable length of time in the movie at some point.
That would be
like,
awesome.
Just to like throw off the whole vibe. Like you've been waiting the whole time. Like, okay, when's it going to, you know.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. Cause you know, it's the guys who are waiting for that. Anyway,
oh yeah, so, definitely. So the one thing that that we hadn't mentioned about Tucker and Dale that I think is really important that we should mention,
all right,
is that every single death that occurs in this movie is by the at the hands of the person who dies.
Yes,
I love that about this movie. No, like Tucker and Dale, they fight back a little bit against the one guy.
Yeah,
but every death is caused by their the kid's own ineptitude or the sheriff's deputy or whoever he is. Like they just like the one guy like charges at him and just dives headfirst into the wood chipper. I love that. Or the guy who like trips on his spear and like impales himself.
Yeah,
you know. The guy at the end who they think is dead, but then he shows up or in the beginning, which is set in the future. It's a weird thing.
Yeah.
But even the guy at the end, Dale was like, oh, I gave him the chamomile thing because it's got this chemical in it that causes asthma or whatever.
Yeah.
And so they're like, well, we better get him his inhaler because he'll be fine after that. And then he falls backwards.
Yeah.
Out of the top of the barn or the old mill.
That is a funny, and I'm glad they committed to that.
Yes.
About this, just because that's what it needs to be. Because there's actually some really interesting theories on like what makes a good guy and a bad guy in TV shows and things like that in movies. And one of them is if the guy kills people, that's a good way to make them a bad guy.
Yes.
So when you have a good guy who kills people, you have to like do it in a certain way.
Right.
They have to have like a clear motive for why they do it. It has to be filmed
justified
a certain way.
Some way.
Yeah.
Well, this is the argument about Han shooting first.
Yeah.
Right. Like the whole reason that they went back and re-edited that is because it's harder to see Han as a good guy when he's just like.
Yeah,
all out like killing a guy.
Exactly,
who's sitting at a table with him.
There's a great analysis of this, and I'll have to try to see if I can find it at some point because I'm sure this will come up again. But looking at movies like Collateral or Straw Dogs, which we talked about before.
Oh yeah,
where it like the literally like if you just by body count alone count up the good guys and the bad guys in those movies, you go, wow. Okay, so in Straw Dogs, like, he's kind of harassed by some people, and then he brutally kills, like, a bunch
like
of them.
Like, every one of them,
But he's somehow still, like,
the
victor.
But he's still the protagonist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's a lot about how it's portrayed, his motivations, and then also, just, like, how it's filmed, even.
Yeah.
So, interesting stuff. I like horror comedy a lot, and, I don't know. Might work on my script for Zombievers too.
Hey, why not?
Yeah.
Why not? What's stopping you?
Could be like Troll 2. We have nothing to do with the original.
Yeah, exactly.
But be superior in every way.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's all I have to say about
that. I think we more or less said it all.
Indeed.
Yeah. Nothing more to say here.
Nope.
We're on the internet.
Yes. We are.
That's an important thing to say.
Primeflixpod.com.
Yep. And if you like what you've heard, you can go over there and tell us. Or if you hate what you heard, you can go over there and tell us.
Please do.
And we're on the iTunes. And a good way to get other people to listen to us is to rate us.
Or a review.
Or give us a review or both or whatever. Yeah. I mean, that's great. We also have like an audio thing if you want to record a message, you know, being like, ah, you guys suck. This Zombievers is the best movie. Sign the creator. Then
if you are the creator of Zombievers, yeah, please call. Let us know.
We want to know. And then
you can be on our podcast.
Play it on the podcast. You know, it's cool. So that's a good way to do it.
We also, if you are into such things, are available on almost all social networks.
So you can find us on
Twitter and Facebook primarily.
Mm-hmm. High Five, Friendster.
Yeah, I think we still have a MySpace page.
Yahoo 360.
Which is weird because we were founded well after MySpace went the way of the dinosaur. But I hear it's coming back, so who knows?
Who can say?
Much like the bad guy in many horror films, it may return.
Ooh, it?
It is always, oh, God.
Are you terrified right now?
I am, just thinking about it.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, get on the internet.
Yes, please do.
And give us your thoughts, because we want to hear them.
Yes.
And if you have some thoughts on what movies we should see.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. I hadn't thought of that. Yeah, you can pick the movies, actually, if you want to. Just tell us. I'll watch anything, as we've established, as long as it's good.
And I'll watch anything that I'm assigned.
There you go. So between the both of us, we should see most things you'd recommend.
Absolutely.
I think that's it.
I think that's all we got.
I mean, I thought we were done before. Now I think we're actually
done. Now we're actually probably done. So
yeah. So, you know, as always during this podcast, I've been Ed.
And I'm always Dean.
And, oh, thanks, Tim. I was wondering why
things felt a little weird. Tim was waiting for you to say, we'll see you on the internet.
We'll see you on the internet.
There it is.
Thanks, Tim.